Well, hello. Welcome back to the British English Podcast with your host, Charlie Baxter, which is, of course, me. But I'm not alone today. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You won't just be hearing my voice because we have Harry. He is back on the show today. He's come in to season two to help you better understand British home life. I should say, though, that this was recorded before COVID. It was, towards the end of 2019, maybe September time, I'm going to guess. But yeah, British home life is the topic for today. What natives are getting up to in and around the house, talking about our family, talking about our personal relationships, our domestic interests, etc. And of course, we're going to be giving you some vocabulary along the way that will help you better understand British English. Now, before we get into this episode, I want to quickly go over the options you have with this podcast. We have the free podcast. We have the premium podcast with the transcripts, glossaries, and flashcards. And then we have the Academy, which has a huge amount of content for each lesson within the seasons, which include exclusive video content, audio files, pronunciation practice, interactive quizzes, writing assignments, and many more things. But also, as of April the 1st, we are now going to be including weekly speaking lessons. So you can actually get active with all of this content in a safe environment with like-minded people every single week. If you're interested, I highly recommend checking it out as soon as possible because the membership will be increasing. But as of now, you have a fantastic opportunity to get a very affordable deal to learn a huge amount of content in an interactive way and then get practicing it in weekly speaking lessons. If that's something that you think you would benefit from, then head over to the BritishEnglishPodcast.com and sign up and get yourself an Academy membership as soon as possible before prices increase. All right, that's enough about the Academy. Let's get into the episode's conversation between myself, Charlie, and one of my best friends back in the UK, Harry. And we're talking all about our home life. Remember, this was recorded around September time in 2019, prior to COVID-19. All right, hope you enjoy it. So, without further ado, Harry, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, it's quite early here in England, but now I'm very used to getting up at about 8 a.m. It used to be a big issue for me. It was a struggle. It's a real struggle. Now, I wake up without my alarm. I wake up at like 7:30 without an alarm. Slightly annoyed that I didn't sleep until my alarm at 8:15. But it's amazing how my body clock has changed over time. Now I'm able to get up early.
That's really nice. Yeah, I feel like it's a lot more of a natural way to wake up because it's kind of with light as the actual sun rises. I mean, you're maybe an hour or two out, but it's still, I think, is a bit more in line with nature.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. All the Zen books I've been reading are telling me to live in line with nature, in accordance with nature.
Oh, okay. Does that mean that you should be selling your Bedfordian flat and going out to the forest?
I would bloody love that. I'd love to spend... One thing I would love to do is try to live a year without a mobile phone.
Ooh. Okay.
Before we delve into that fantastic idea, I just want to explain to live in accordance with. It's quite simple, really, the way we've used it. But to live in accordance with nature, it's like to live in agreement with nature, to be synchronized with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So you'd like to ditch the phone. To get rid of, to ditch somebody, to or something in that context. But you could ditch a partner, couldn't you?
You could. Yeah, I ditched him. I ditched her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to ditch the phone. Yeah, I really would. it's annoying. I find it really annoying. And it, if I, something that really delays my morning is when I look at my phone in bed. Sometimes I make that mistake of grabbing my phone, opening up all the different social media accounts, looking at comments or lack of comments, and looking at down my newsfeed. It wastes so much time, and I start the day on a very unproductive note.
Yeah, so, and maybe an unsatisfied note.
Unsatisfied as well. Yeah. I need to remind myself to leave my phone in my bedroom. My new thing is going to be not checking the phone, just waking up with the alarm, leave the phone in the bedroom, and then at midday, when I have my break, I can look at my phone for like half an hour. And then I'll leave it in there again. I'll leave it in my bedroom again and then look at it after work for half an hour and then just get on with my evening.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds healthy. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
This one.
I find it useful, though, for positive things like podcasts. I love learning. I feel like I've learned more in the last couple of years about just the most random things. It's probably not staying in there because I'm listening to so many things, but I feel like if somebody says something about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I know all of that, so well done me. Yeah, I listened to a podcast on that. Now I'm an expert about Nazi drug intake during the Second World War.
Oh, yeah, you remember that one then?
I watched, that is an interesting, so that topic is fascinating. I've never heard of that. So if you didn't know, guys, the Nazis, but also the British Army were taking a lot of drugs. They were fueled.
In the Second World War.
In the Second World War, yeah. Especially the fighter planes, right? So they could work those long shifts and fly around. They were very high on drugs for bravery, for courage, and also just to keep them awake.
Wow.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's insane, isn't it? Yeah, that kind of stuff. I would have never gone into a library and picked up a book about, you know, drug addicts in the war.
Crossed my mind.
But now it's so accessible and so fun.
It's so accessible. That's a nice word as well. Accessible. Easy to find. Easy to access.
To get. Accessible. Yeah.
Easy to get. you could use that word about other things as well, accessible. I like using it when talking about books. If a book is accessible, it means it's easy to read.
Okay. So it's not using too much fancy vocabulary or jargon within the industry.
Exactly. Yeah. So, if you are an English learner, it's good to try and find books that are accessible for your level.
Yeah.
Good word.
Yeah.
Nice word.
And I'm just going to butt in here really quickly to remind you that we have a free worksheet available for you to download that has some of the great vocabulary that we're talking about for you to listen along with and, of course, revise from at a later point. So click the relevant link in the show notes of this podcast episode and get yourself that free worksheet that is very, very useful. All right, on with the show.
So you were talking about trying to put your phone away and to try and segue it onto the topic of today.
Very nice.
Home occasions.
Family occasions.
It was a big family occasion, sorry. It was a big thing in my family to talk about or to debate between the parent and the children, parents and the children, although it was mainly my dad that was saying it. Whether or not you are allowed the phone at the table during dinner.
Oh, okay. So that was a subject of debate.
Is that
a topic that you would discuss around the dinner table?
Not in a very mature sense. It was more the teenagers stropping me, my sisters. We would be upset and complaining that we couldn't take our phones to the table. And then my dad would be very stern, very strict. And he'd be saying, no, we are to talk as a family. And that means we talk about my golf and nothing else.
Yeah. Or Nigel talks about his golf and everyone else listens. That is exactly. The family chat. Nice, really nice words as well. So to strop. So everyone, all the kids were stropping around the Baxter dinner table. To strop, to be in a bad mood. And we can also say to throw a strop, can't we? That's when you go, okay, I'm deciding I'm going to be in a bad mood now because my mum has taken my PlayStation for a week. I'm now going to throw a strop. I'm going to be in a bad mood and treat everyone badly.
Throw
a strop.
Yeah. And that made me think of the phrase throw a paddy. Is that the Irish version of throw a strop, would you say?
Throw a paddy. Yeah. But we definitely use that, don't we, in England?
We do, yeah.
So we could also say tantrum. So throw a strop, tantrum, or paddy. Some options for you there. And then your dad was very stern, so he was very strict. Nice words. I think it's a good idea. But when you've got kids, all they want to do is play on their phone. And if you're telling them not to do something, that normally provokes the undesired result. If you're saying, don't do this, they want to look at their phones. So I'm for it, and I think it's a great idea, but difficult to manage.
Very difficult to manage, yeah. Maybe if you're in that situation as the father, it would be best to try and not resist it, but sort of utilize it with your conversation. Like we actually do it now over a pint in the pub. We'll all have our phones handy and we'll sometimes research things that we're talking about. Like in our Skype lessons, you know, you Google things, you know, oh yes, in Second World War, there was a lot of drug use. Did you not know that? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, some people know things, some people don't.
Yeah. I think, so maybe having your phone handy, having your phone to hand, meaning having it close, really nice phrase, can be a good thing in a conversation. Maybe it can be used positively around the dinner table. I think that's a good idea. It's not quite around the dinner table, this, but I notice phone use when I'm just at family occasions in general. Like my sister, she's often just sitting on her phone. We will go.
She's
around.
Sitting on her phone.
Oh, that's no. So look, sitting down and looking at her phone. But that's interesting. We say that she's sitting on her phone, but not literally on her phone.
Yeah. I suppose we're omitting the looking at her phone.
Yeah.
You just say she's sitting on her phone. It's actually starting to sound strange for me. You do say it, yeah?
She's sitting on her phone. She's just sitting there on her phone. She was sitting there on her
phone.
That sounds
better. She's sitting there on her phone. Yeah, that sounds a bit more natural.
Yeah.
But still, interesting.
Yeah.
She's sitting there on her phone.
Yeah.
A little less.
It's not that interesting. And we're all watching crap television, having conversation, which is fun. It's nice to catch up with the family. But sometimes she's looking at her phone a lot. And it's irritating because she's not really there. She's in the room, but she's not really in the room.
Yeah. You're not with us. Yeah.
You're with us. Where are you? Where are you, dudes?
Yeah. I'm right here. Come on. That's fine. I made the effort. I'm in the room.
Yeah. No, well done. Well done. But listen. Take part in the conversation. Yeah. Now what I do is I put my phone on the side. I turn it over. I have to turn it over because if I see that it lights up, I then feel that I need to check it.
Yeah. It's the new form of saying I'm listening. You know, when you do that, it's like I have got all of my attention on you. You're so special. But as soon as it goes, you're like, what? Sorry. I was faking it. I'm not really involved in this.
Yeah, you hear a very slight vibration. Like, oh, actually, it wasn't my phone, but I will check that again.
Yeah. Anyway, so what's it like at the family of the Gileses around the dinner table? What's it like nowadays?
So nowadays, we only really sit around the dinner table for special occasions. Or sometimes my parents will host everyone. So none of the kids live at their house now. So we all go round for dinner. And if all of the kids are round for dinner, like me, my brother and my sister and their partners, we'll always eat around the dinner table. Mm. And it's very nice. It's very nice. Everyone sits down. My mum brings everything. My dad helps out. It's all very normal, to be honest.
So you don't really help. We could say you don't lift a finger in that situation.
Yeah, you could say that. I help to clear the table. I help to clear the table after.
Okay.
So I help to eat everything that is there.
Yeah, I clear the food off my plate with my mouth.
I don't even use my hands. I just...
I told you, I don't lift my fingers.
Yeah, that's a really good expression. You don't lift a finger.
Mm. Yeah, so it means you don't do any hard work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we talked about in the last podcast, we said to do the heavy lifting. Do you remember that? So it's like...
Yes.
It's kind of the... Well, it's the same, really. If you don't lift a finger, you're not doing any of the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Synonymous.
Yeah, so I don't really lift a finger until the end of the meal, and then I help to clear the table. So to clear the table is when you take everything into the kitchen, and then I leave it there. I don't wash up.
That's nothing. That does not count.
All right.
And what's more annoying there is that they have to say thank you.
No, they don't.
When you take their plate off the table, oh, thank you, darling. Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
It's true. I just do it to get a couple of thanks. That's the reason I'm doing it. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Mum. Yeah, I'm gonna leave this. I'm gonna leave this on the work surface in the kitchen for you.
Yeah, but it's an interesting one because I think as soon as you go back to your own place, well, I find this, I'm sure you do as well to some degree, you take more ownership and therefore you feel like it's obvious that you would do all the heavy lifting. You know, your parents probably see you as a lazy person. And I'm not saying you, I'm meaning one. I'm meaning your parents probably see... Your child.
It's okay. I'm not offended. Just say me. It's okay. I know what you're trying to say, Charlie.
Alice and Peter probably find Harry very lazy, but you know, when he's on his own, he's probably doing all the heavy lifting himself.
Yeah, most of it. Yeah, of course.
Until his mum comes around and says, "Do you want me to clean your flat and do your laundry?"
Oh dear. Can you say that all again? You said that very quick. That was like very native speed.
Sorry. I said, until your mother comes around and cleans your flat and does your laundry.
Very nice.
Or your washing, as a Brit would say. Mm.
That'll be useful for people to hear how you say it at natural pace. And then how you say it a bit slowed down. It's quite interesting. Yeah, totally. And that, no, I do now my washing up before I go to bed every night, because that's another way to start the day negatively. I don't like getting up and doing the washing up. It's the worst thing. So I never do that. I wake up, I see it, I go, oh God. And then I walk into the living room and just start my day. And then every time I walk past the kitchen, I feel a bit guilty and I just feel pathetic. So I've now what I do is I wash up before bed and I write a to-do list for the next day.
Very good.
It's great.
Very good. Better than me. Yeah, I like that. Really like that.
What's your routine?
I've been told to do that many times. My routine is, pick up the shit, walk the dog in the evening.
Sure.
And in the morning. And then...
do you pick the dog shit up while you're walking the dog? Do you always pick up the dog shit, or are you sometimes guilty of leaving it?
No, never guilty of leaving it. I think I've said this before, but the last dog we were looking after, I left the house after an argument with Stacey, and I forgot the poo bags, and then the dog did a huge poo outside, and then I knew that there was a poo bag in the local park. There was a dispenser. And so I went and got one and went back to pick it up, and people were near when I picked it up, and I looked up and they looked at me and they thought, have you just come to pick up a random poo?
That's hilarious. Like, you just go around picking poos. Oh my God.
And then maybe they thought I was the homeless man trying to make money. Picking up poos.
Yeah, and they said, you can't make money like that, mate. It's not England.
You got to lick them.
You got to lick them first. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
No. So, I should do the list thing. That would be good. That would be very good. Yeah. At the moment, though, these dogs that we've got, they jump up at 6 in the morning onto our bed, and then they wait sat upright until... We didn't know what the first time, but Stacey allowed them in the duvet, under the actual duvet.
Oh, my God.
And, So they actually sleep in the same bed. It's disgusting. I can't believe it.
Oh, that's horrid.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Could you not say to Stacey, let's not have them in the bed. So you've got two dogs in the bed with you.
Yeah, no, just one. We have a favorite. This is really blurred, but can you see that? I'm showing Harry a photo of my girlfriend spooning a dog.
Oh my God, that is quite cute though.
It's a really cute dog, to be fair. It's a French bulldog.
Oh.
So I said spooning. Spooning is like cuddling up, cuddling on your side. Together, back to front.
Yeah, you're both on your side, facing the same way. And
imagine two spoons in a drawer.
Yes. Yeah, two spoons placed very well in a drawer.
Yes.
Not like my drawer. It's like the spoons are all facing in different directions.
The spoons are being forked.
They're being forked. In fact, sometimes I'm guilty of dropping a spoon in the fork section of the
drawer. My forking God.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Also, you said to sit upright. I think this is really good language. To sit upright is just to be, it's just to be sitting and not in a kind of reclined position. So you're not... You're not sitting back, you're sitting up, sitting upright.
Yeah, your spine is erect, I should say.
Exactly, very nice. Lovely use of the word erect there. Yeah, your spine is straight, spine is erect. Nice. Sit upright.
Yeah. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Enough talk of erections.
And I think that is probably the perfect sentence to leave part one on for this episode. Don't forget to grab the free worksheet explaining some of the really useful native expressions that came up in part one of this episode. And hey, if you did want to join in on part two and three of this episode, get the transcripts, extended glossaries and flashcards, then you can become a premium podcast member. In part two... We talk about my morning routine as a part-time voiceover artist, where Harry makes me do my silly warm-up exercises, which amuse him greatly for some reason. I don't know why. And then the conversation, for some reason, develops into what Harry does in preparation for an intimate moment with somebody, which really, really cracked me up. And then in part three, amongst other things, we discuss why Stacey and I chose to live in Sydney, Australia. And lastly, if you wanted to get active with your speaking skills and put all of this amazing content that I'm teaching you into action in a safe space, then you now have the option to join the weekly speaking classes in the Academy. And don't forget to join as soon as possible, as the price of the membership will be going up very soon. But if you join before the price increase, it will stay the same for you. So you really could get yourself an absolute bargain. A bargain, a really good deal. To learn more about that, head over to thebritishenglishpodcast.com and then click on the tab called The Academy. Right, that's all for part one. I look forward to seeing you in part two. If not, then enjoy the free worksheet. I've been Charlie Baxter. Thank you, Harry, for being on this episode. And I'll see you next time on the British English Podcast.